you fucking, what's his name?
DJ Khaled. We the best. Another one.
All right. Everybody got the giggles out? Let's get fucking down to business here. Let's get down to business.
Welcome to the Unbaked Podcast. We're your hosts, Caitlin.
And I'm Sarah.
In this podcast, two best friends get together to share our own recipes of life, having relationships, and everything in between.
Join us while we share with you our take of the definition of unbaked.
Hello, everyone!
Welcome to episode 7.
Number 7.
I know.
It's crazy. We're talking about all things long-term relationship-like with two very special-ish guests. We have Darnell here today. Say hello.
What's going on?
And we have my boyfriend, the one and the only, Austin John Chad Allen Picard.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be going through some, you know, relationship things that we've learned along the way, and we're going to be asking the boys some on-the-spot questions just to see how they do, and hopefully it will be a good one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This should be good.
It should be a good one.
To kick things off right away, we're going to go all around the circle.
Circle time. Sharing the circle.
We are going to be doing our drinks of the week. So,
starting with the most important one, I have a grower cider with some ice.
Nice melted ice in there.
Yeah, it smells a little funny, but that's okay. It's been sitting in Sarah's car for like a week, but I'm still drinking it.
I think like three weeks.
No, it's like a month since
honestly, your guys' last episode. Honestly, if it has a percentage on it, I'll still drink it.
Yeah,
it was your guys' first episode when you guys were in the truck and started that fire. If everyone knows, they know. That was in the back of the truck. That's when it was.
And from. I'm still drinking it.
That's she's still disgusting. Sipping.
Absolutely foul.
And it happens. Anyways, yeah. Sarah, what do you got today?
So today, we're back on the alcohol train.
Choo-choo!
Choo-choo! Come aboard. Or you don't have to, actually. We take anybody.
Unless you're boring.
Unless you're boring. So today I have a cranberry and citrus. It's called Georgian Bay Cranberry Gin Smash. So
smash.
Some gin.
Nice. What do you got, Darnell?
Well, I'm a bit half cut here, but I got the good old hey y'all. He never lets you down, you know? Gets you where you need to go.
What do you got, Austin?
I got a grapefruit tequila Paloma. Whatever the hell that means.
It's good though, eh?
It's not bad, yep.
Okay. Well, now that we got that over and done with, holy fuck. Let's start with, I have some questions for both the guys. Well, Sarah and I both do.
Yeah.
So, this is all about long-term relationships, because Sarah's been with Darnell for over 10 decades, and I've known Austin for way too freaking long, and I've been dating him with, I haven't even counted anymore, because it's been so dreadful. I'm just joking.
That was just, like, right off.
That was just,
like,
boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, roasted.
Like, right off the bat.
No, I'm just joking. I love him. And I love you guys. Okay, so question for both. I'm going to ask Austin first, and then Darnell, you can give your kind of humble opinion. What is key for a healthy relationship?
I'll let you start this one off, bud.
I said you first.
Knock, knock, bud.
Oh, me first.
Spit it out, Junior. Fuck.
Damn. That's a great one, you know?
Crickets.
Yeah, literally. Like, come on.
What was the question?
You can't think of one thing. What's a key for a healthy relationship?
Healthy relationship. Communication.
Thank you for your answer.
Humble opinion, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, I'll go off that, but never go to bed angry.
Ooh.
I could fight that one, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, like, what if you're not, like, in the right headspace to talk about it at that moment? And, like, then you're losing sleep, and then you go to work angry, and then, you know, you're just not happy.
I'll come back at that. You're always going to lose sleep over it because you don't want to be in that place with that person, no matter what or
true.
What situation you're in.
True.
I know for Sarah and I, we figured out it doesn't matter how much sleep we lose
that
with
is
it because no matter what, no matter what, we're going to lose sleep anyways.
Yeah,
I hate going
angry,
to work angry. And yeah, just figure it out then and there. You're going to lose sleep no matter what, but it's better just to figure it out and get over it then than having to hold on to that for 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
True. What do you think about that? I feel like you're the same because you're like, we have to fix it right away. And I'm like, leave me alone, please.
So I did actually have that in my notes about going to bed angry. And the main thing is to, even if you are about to go to bed and you're like, I'm either going to sleep and then wake up and we're still going to be in a fight, or I take some time, take a breather, go for a walk, I don't care how late it is, or take that time apart and then come back and reassess.
No, I think your notes are good, because I was thinking, like, whatever, go to bed angry because you'll lose sleep. And sometimes I'm not in the right headspace to talk about things like that. I was always the one that just wanted to figure out the problem when I felt better, whether or not that was me going to sleep first. Because sometimes I'm not in, like, the, like, mental space, especially, like, a lot of the time when you go to bed together and, like, there has been a huge issue. Mm-hmm. Especially with Austin and I's experience, we don't have a lot of fights, but when they have happened, most of the time, we're, like, either under the influence or something like that, and that's just not the right time to talk about things. And that's for everyone, I feel like. That's also just not a good time to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
But in certain circumstances now, I do believe that it is good to just get it over with. No, not just, not per se get it over with, but to talk about it, but to, like, talk about it, because either way, you're going to lose sleep.
Either way you are, but I do understand when you are talking about, if you're intoxicated, that's a totally different,
like,
story.
Like, shit can get bad.
Maybe it depends on the relationship itself. I know for Sarah and I, that works best. Maybe other relationships are different.
Like, when you're intoxicated?
Depends
on
how. Intoxicated's different. We've went to bed angry on that situation before, because you can't get your mindset straight, right? Because your feelings are coming out with the booze.
And
the booze is doing the talking.
Yeah. It depends what the argument was about, too.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, for sure.
Well, because a lot of people say, like, drunk words are sober thoughts.
It could be some fucking stupid, like.
I feel like with alcohol, your true emotions do come out, and you're not scared to put them out, but it also can get you into trouble, because you have no fear of what you're saying. So you can get yourself in even more shit.
It's true. So it can go, like, both ways, honestly. Like, there can be a whole bunch of different roads for this certain topic. But I mean, if you have, like, an argument about, like, sweeping the floor, it's like, and whose job was that or whatever, like, going to bed angry because it's like, I always sweep the floor, and then you know, talking about that would resolve it, and then you just wake up not so mad at each other. But I mean, it does. When I think about it, I'm like, oh, if you have, like, a huge fight and it's like 1 a.m. and you work in the morning, like, I don't know, but then you go to work angry. So now I get it.
And we've had those days specifically where it's like, we've literally been off 2 hours of sleep and we've gone to work the next day and we're freaking exhausted. But it's still, in a way, a better feeling than
being
going
angry.
To work angry.
Well, I called in before just because I was off an hour and a half of sleep, and I was like, it was just more worth it to just get it resolved so the next day it's not ruined.
Yeah.
Like, you come home, you let it marinate, all right, and you both are like, yeah, I did that wrong. The other person's like, yeah, I did that wrong. Mm-hmm. But still, now you're still dealing with it that next day, and it's not going to be fixed. Whereas if you get some sleep after you've resolved it, you can come back and hopefully have a good next day. That's why I like resolving it right away. It sucks, and sometimes you might not be in the mindset. I know for Sarah and I, it's just the best thing, because
and also, like, if you do, like, go to work and come back, you've also had time individually to think about things, and then maybe you can come back later that day and talk about it in, like, way more of a calm state too.
That's just
right? It's not like you have to completely end the topic then.
No,
like, as soon, whatever, like, you can continue talking about it, and then maybe it'll just be even easier then.
It is a lot. Moving on, that was a great little conversation we had. So do you, this is for both of you guys, so whoever wants to answer, you can. Do you know the term mental load? And if so, what is your definition on that?
Like, what do you think mental load is in a relationship?
Like just a lot going on in your life? I don't know. Like, mentally? You're just, like, exhausted? I don't know. What is your definition?
Well, you're just mentally strained. Mentally tired. Like, if there's so much going on in your life and then you have to come home and deal with your relationship, it just builds up and builds up, right?
So you think that the mental load is something to do with your relationship, but something that's built up
for one person? I think it's just what you're dealing with in life. Everything's a mental game. Everything. There could be so much happening in your life, and it just builds up, and when you're just so mentally exhausted, that's what I feel like what mental load would be.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, Do you have a better idea, Austin, of what mental load could be in a relationship or no? Because I will explain it to you.
I mean, that's what I was trying to get to.
So, say, picture
like
us.
You're just exhausted. There's a lot going in your life,
So,
you're just like.
We're talking about relationships, you know? Though. Not just you as individuals. We're talking about relationships. So, mental load in relationships is when you are taking on the role of the whole relationship when it should be like 100 and 100. Not 50-50. You hear the whole basic thing, 50-50 in a relationship, but it should be 100-100. No one should just be acting 50% and then the other should be acting 50% and it equals 100. You should always be putting in your full effort into the relationship, whether it be, you know, communication, boundaries. But the hugest thing for mental load when people hear it is like taking on the task that you should be doing in a relationship. For example, like chores. That's probably the biggest one. So when Sarah and I think about mental load, we think about, say, for instance, you ask us like to come home and do the laundry when you got home from work because you had too many tasks to do throughout the day. You already had that mental load of things to do. And then you come home, you don't do it, and then you just go up to like us or your partner and say, like, what do you need me to do? At that point, we have done so much that us having to tell you what to do is so much of a mental load on us that we are being like, we have to direct you to do it. And it's just almost easier for us to even just do the task.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't have to, you know, like tell you what to do. Like, if we've told you already what to do, it should be just like that.
But like, even us telling you what to do is a mental load because, like you were saying, we are now directing everything that needs to be done in the house. Because
we've already thought about it. We've already thought, like, okay, the floors need to be mopped. The, you know, laundry needs to be done. The dishes need to be cleaned. Whereas they're just like, okay, tell me what to do. And it's like, well, telling you what to do is more of a weight on our shoulders than just us doing it ourselves. Like, that's why a lot of women and people in heterosexual relationships end up just doing the tasks on their own because they're like, it's honestly more effort explaining step by step to the person
to delegate
how to take out the garbage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That wasn't an attack to you, Darnell. That's just the first thing that came to mind. But
it is such a common example.
Like, could you imagine going to work all day and then you asking us to, like, just, you know, like, put tissue in the tissue box? And we're like, what do you want me to do? How do I do it? Tell me how to put tissue in the tissue box. Wouldn't that be more frustrating than just doing it yourself?
Well, I feel like asking and telling is a little different than that. If you're asking, then we'll go, or let's say you go do it, but we most likely don't need to be shown, I guess.
But a lot of times people do. But
in some situations, for sure. 100%.
And that's really extremely unfortunate because that's like even worse. I would say, but like having to show what to do as an adult, that's horrible.
That's a lot of people have that.
Yeah, and that's really sad. I mean, we can call ourselves a little blessed that, yeah, we could tell you to do the laundry or to take out the trash. You know how to do it, but why do I even have to tell you?
Another thing I like to add on to that one is, you know, sometimes women will tell their partners to be like, okay, go do the laundry. And then you have hope and faith that they'll do it properly, but then they put whites with the pinks.
And then you got
and
red.
You and then you just got and then everything's red. So then you're like, okay, I told them what to do. But are they going to do it right?
I'm joking.
Austin did laundry all day today, but whether or not he did it right, we're going to find that out when we get home.
I fold the laundry.
No.
I mean, it's all the way, so I mean, it's all...
Imagine if I ever shrunk your favorite shirt.
Another thing I'd like to add about this is, like, we go off about the topic about how we are doing all these things and we have to tell them to do them. It's like, why do we know them? Yeah. Why do we know how to do all this stuff?
We just learned on our own.
But why... We're the same age as people, and all these women are the same ages of their, like, partners and their husbands. We're talking in a heterosexual relationship, because if you're lesbians, I'm sure you're both doing the laundry. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, whatever. But I think it's crazy when you think about it. Like, when I first moved in with Austin, he's like, you just got to show me how to do this shit. And I'm like, okay, like, I didn't have a problem with that because I know that he's never had to clean a shower on his own or had to do his freaking laundry or had to do anything for himself because it was always done for him. So he was just like, hey, I don't know how to do this. Like, I'll admit it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll show you how to clean a shower. And now he knows how to clean a shower. But it's crazy that we had to learn that, or we just automatically got that in our heads, which is so odd because it's like, I'm sure that we were shown just as many times as the sons or men were.
Yeah.
But we put that load onto ourselves because we just know that we're the ones that have to do it. And they're just like, well, if it's not done, I'm sure someone will do it for me, because that's how it always happens.
But that's the stress of the mental load.
But that can be in a spectrum as well, because there's probably a lot of shit that we know how to do that maybe you guys don't know how to do. And it's, maybe not the household chores and all that. And that's where the 100% come in, because we'll go out of the way and do stuff that we know how to do. Where if you're in the house doing certain things, I know it sounds very old fashioned, but it's true, because I know that's how I grew up. And the same thing as Austin. When I came out of the house, I knew how to do lots of that stuff, but I was awful when I first moved out was there. Like, I was terrible. Like, I didn't do much, because I always had that support in my house that always did that for me. And then when you go out on your own, you're like, holy, you have to do all this stuff, right? But then that's where the 100% comes in. There's a lot of stuff that, let's say, Austin and I know how to do. Obviously, I guess the blue jobs, how people call it. Like, you hear grandparents call it, right? Stuff like that. And then maybe that's something that obviously has to be fixed in life. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's great. And I totally agree with you that you guys know stuff that we don't know how to do, for sure. Like, it's with everyone. Everyone knows shit. Or everyone knows stuff that some people don't know. But I'm just saying, like, basic things, like dishes and laundry and stuff like that. Like, I feel like everyone should know that, just because, like, changing a tire isn't going to save me for my everyday life. Or, but I know how to change a tire, just putting that out there. But, like, or, like, I also know how to change oil. But, like, I'm saying, like, things, I don't know. I can't even say something, like, that they know. Like, it's not that I personally want to do it. But I just get someone to do it for me. Like, I pay them to do it for me. But, like, that's not an everyday thing. Like, laundry and dishes and mopping and, you know, like Austin, you know it. Like, when things need to be done, you see it and you do it, right? Like, you've learned that firsthand living with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know. He's like, yeah, I have. I'm forced to be here right now. I'm have a gun against my head. Like, literally. And it's so funny because, lighting this up a little bit, I tell everyone that I know that living with a man for the first time, or them being with a woman for the first time, I've lived with men, obviously, like, I grew up with my brother, whatever, it's a huge change for them, because they're like, oh, like, my mom isn't doing everything for me. So then they're just like, okay, now I have to learn how to do things.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to generalize it, but it's freaking true.
It is. It's very
I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
No one can unconvince me. Your mom's doing everything for you. I'm sorry. But it's true. It's true. I literally, you can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
It's weird, but mom's relationship with guys, like, because even when in Sarah's family, Sarah did so much growing up, and then you see her brother. Yeah, he does a lot. Adam, if you're listening, you do a lot, and you know how to do stuff. But, yeah, your mom, as a last child, took you under her arm and does so much for you, just like my mom did to me. So you're not getting called out. My mom did the exact same thing,
and so did Austin's mom. But literally, the whole thing about having children is making them independent. And I've said this before in our podcast. I am going to be an education assistant, and when you go into school, the main goal for children is becoming independent on their own. Mm-hmm. You don't have children to cradle them under your wing. And just do everything for them. Because then how the heck are they supposed to go out on their own life and do things on their own when they've never been shown anything?
And fail and then learn.
And
from
you learn from failing, which Austin did. And one thing that's great about Austin is that when we moved in together, he's just like, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm glad that you're admitting it instead of just being like, I'm not going
to
do it.
Well, it's being self-aware about it. That's
exactly.
Great.
Yeah. He listened to our self-awareness podcast. You know, and it's nice because now he notices when things, like, need to be done, he'll just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when we have our little, we'll get to this at some point, when we have our little, like, cleaning parties, him and I will just, like, play really loud music and, like, we'll just get a bunch of stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd be like, hey, do you want to, like, do that? And it's not, like, a complete mental load for me. I'm just like, hey, like, do you want to do the dishes and I can do the vacuuming? And he'll be like, sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And then we'll just get it done. And that's it. And then Austin also realized that, like, living in a dirty, messy house is just not.
Because I've never had it.
It's just not for us. So he realized that he doesn't like living in a dirty household. So once he sees, like, a little bit of a mess, he's like, I can't do it. And I'm like, yes, that's where you get it. That's where you realize. But it sucks that you have to realize when you're in a complete, like, hoarded house, that you're like, wow, I really don't like this. It's like, you should just know that if, like, the dishes are full in the sink, that they should just, you look at it and you're like, okay, I should probably put that in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
And it's hard though, because I learned that too, living on my own, being like, oh, I don't want to do the dishes, but, like, I know I have to now, or else I'm never gonna do it. And you have to tell yourself that.
Because for me, I find it's a good feeling, though. I love it. I love it. It's the best feeling in the world to have a clean house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst when it's 9 p.m. and you're having a midnight snack and you're like, okay, the dishwasher's empty. Or it's full, but it's clean. I have to put it away in order to put the dish.
And then you can just do it the next day.
And then that's what you always say. You're like, oh, I'll do the next day. And then you work in the morning. Yeah. And then the last thing you want to do when you come home from work is probably do the dishes.
Man, that's
we
awkward.
Had a dishwasher.
At our place, we did.
Tell me it worked good.
Oh, yeah. It would plug up. We'd have to shake. It was, like, connected.
I had to hit it with the spoon.
Yeah, okay, so we had a dishwasher up there that you would, like, connect to the hose of the... Or the
nozzle of
the sink. And it would be like... and then it would get plugged.
Oh, no.
And Austin would have to smack the thing with a spoon. So I'd wake up at, like, 7 in the morning to Austin, like, losing his marbles at this dishwasher.
Fucking dishwasher.
And I got to the point where, like, if I heard Austin really mad in the morning, I would just... go back to sleep because I'd be like, yep, it's just a dishwasher.
He's not mad about anything else.
Yeah. Anyways, what is something you'll never tolerate in a relationship? And we all know cheating, but I want something different.
So coming home from work and having to deal with somebody, you just walk right through the door and it's just constant, like, bang, there's nagging. I lose my shit. Like, there are always, you're always gonna have days like that, but if it was every day, I'd lose my mind.
Shouldn't even be with that person if that's what they're doing.
Yeah, like, have I done that?
No, like, there's obviously we have days, but it's not like it's so minuscule. Like, there's sometimes, like, that's what I'm saying, but that's tolerable where you're like, all right, and that's where you get your little arguments. But, like, I'm saying every day, like, come home and you just know you're going in there, you're like, gosh, I don't want to go inside.
I feel like that's something that would be, like, easily fixed in a relationship. But at the same time, it's like, if you're with someone who is either nagging you because you never do anything, or at that point, like, you shouldn't really be with someone who's, like, either constantly nagging you because clearly your relationship isn't working, or she shouldn't be with you because if she has to constantly ask you things constantly to the point where she's literally nagging you by the time you walk in the door, like, I feel like you should rethink your relationship at that point. So, yeah, that's a good one. Like, I wouldn't tolerate that either. What is something you'll never tolerate in a relationship, ever? Like, if someone were to do something, what wouldn't you tolerate? And you'd have to break up with them because they did that thing.
Like, what's like a red flag for a partner?
Like, just being, like, there's, like, being mean to your significant other and, like, joking around. But then there's also, like, you know, hitting those, like, buttons that you're like, okay, that's, like, that's a no-go for me, you know?
Give me an example.
I don't know if I have an example, to be honest, but like
me and
you joke around all the time. We always, you know, be mean to each other, quote unquote, but we're always, like, playful about it. But then there's also, or I've had in the past where, like, they'll say something, I'm like, that kind of hurt my feelings, you know?
And yeah, like, they really dig deep.
Yeah.
You also have to, like, a huge thing for everyone to, like, remember in your relationship and in everyday life is just know your crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Know your crowd, Darnell. Yeah, Darnell doesn't have a lot of filters, but that's okay. Okay,
my biggest thing that I would never tolerate in a relationship, addiction.
Ooh.
That is huge for me. That is the number one thing that I would never, ever, ever stand for. And I'm not talking about drinking on the weekend, hanging out with friends, and you do that several times and you're like, okay. But it's like, if an addiction forms off of one of those things, that's when I'm not okay with that.
We all have addictions.
Yeah. We do. But it's being cautious of those.
Addicted to their phone.
That's true. That, yeah. But it's being self-aware of those things too. And if you can...
I'm self-aware that I'm addicted to vaping.
Right.
So am I. But you try to take it away from me, I'm gonna fucking snap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're addicted to it.
Coming to terms with that on your own. And if you're okay with that, if you're okay, like, that's what you're like, okay, no, that's fine, and I'm okay with that, then that's fine. But if it's something too, and it's gonna eventually harm yourself or others, and you're like, okay, maybe if I drink every fucking day, it's not a good thing. And you start to notice those patterns, or even like, oh, if I've gone to the casino 4 times this month, maybe I should be a little, you know, more cautious and be like, okay, well, I don't want to waste my money or on that type of thing. Maybe I need to, you know, if I see that forming in some way, shape, or form, you have to be able to be like, okay, well, that's something that I, like, just as a person myself who knows what addiction's like, seeing people in my life, that is what I've been always more cautious of because of
what has happened to them.
Yeah.
So that's where I get a little bit more, but like, scared, because I don't want to see someone else going down that path.
Yeah. Oh, things. Yeah. Just like hoping for the best for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, obviously, like, I don't like addictions either. I don't think anyone really like is here for addictions, but like, you can go on both sides of it being like, everything's an addiction at this point and nothing's good for us.
Yeah.
Like, being on our phone isn't good for us.
Yeah.
Inhaling exactly. The air that we go outside and breathe every single day isn't good for us.
Yeah.
Drinking freaking Heyalls and pop isn't good for us. Going to fast food restaurants isn't good for us. Like, nothing is good for us anymore. And like, yeah, having an addiction, totally. Like, sex addictions and drug addictions and drinking,
gambling,
smoking. Yeah, like everything.
Everything.
Is not good, obviously, like, especially drinking and drugs, like, that's by far the worst. Yeah. But everything's gonna kill us.
Oh yeah. And yeah, that's the thing though, it's not to say that, oh, like, we're gonna live life and we're gonna be perfect and we're not gonna ever have hard times and things like that happen to us. But I think if you know yourself as a person and you just need to know those boundaries yourself.
Yeah.
But then you also have to agree that, you know, there's also some crazy addictions out there that actually like affect your day-to-day life. Yeah. But then there are some that just affect that person.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like vaping. Vaping isn't good, guys. Yeah. I'm not trying to say like, but Austin and I vape, it doesn't affect anyone else but us.
Yeah.
And we're not dying every day. Everyone's dying. That's on us. That's right? On us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like we're still
the same person. Same person to each other. Like,
but if you're drinking every day, that totally affects your life. And if you're doing drugs every day,
gambling.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Up on the streets in a month.
Yeah.
Gambling.
Like I know someone.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know someone who works at a casino and they see people that come in and every spend day. Their money. Like
their welfare or their
yes, and their house payments, their savings, everything. They completely ruin their lives.
I know.
Like, that is crazy how far just playing a little arcade game as an adult can ruin your complete life.
Exactly.
But yeah, like, addiction is crazy, and there's so many different sides to it, and I'll never be one to like advocate for like addictions, because no addictions are good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate that I'm addicted to my phone. I hate that I was addicted to my computer when I was a kid. I hate that Austin and Darnell and lots of people are addicted to gaming. But at the same time, it's like, in this world, 2023, it could be worse. But also, it's just coping mechanisms at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, another question for the boys. How can you keep a relationship exciting even after being together for so long?
I will go off of what Katie said this past weekend. You always got to keep dating.
Yeah.
Oh, I already even had that written down. I didn't even have to tell him to say that. So what do you mean by always keep dating, though? Like, what's your definition of always keep dating?
What I mean is, like, what we did for, like, the first month, where we were always excited to do things and, like, always going out and always exploring and always enjoying being with each other. Not saying we don't anymore. Obviously, we do.
I don't.
I'm joking.
Especially now that I'm away, like, it kind of seems like we're almost, like, dating every time I come home now. Whereas, like, before, we still, you know, loved each other, like, a lot. But, like, now there's, like, that excitement back in our relationship for me coming home. We're always wanting to, you know, go out, have fun, like, because we only get to see each other, like, once a month.
Yeah, and that's totally true. You live together, and you just get so used to each other, seeing each other every day. And, like, sometimes, like, it does, like, your relationships can get boring.
Mm-hmm.
And if your relationships are boring, it's great, because that most of the time, that means that it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If your relationship is all stressful and scary all the time, that's probably because it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, relationships are going to be boring to the point where sometimes you come home, and you just lay in bed all day, and you're just like, okay, well, we have nothing to do, because... you know, sometimes you just don't have things to do. But yeah, like I said, with you guys working away, and when you come back, it's like we're going on dates and we're thinking of fun things to do together, and it just lightens up your relationship even more and keeps it more exciting. So Darnell, what do you think can keep a relationship exciting even after being together with Sarah for, I've lost count, seven years? Oh yeah, that's as old as Nova.
Yeah, just Nova.
Nova is the same age as their relationship. Anyway, so what do you think could, or you think can?
It's something very simple, but random acts of kindness. Go to work, bring her flowers, bring her a coffee. I know it sounds so cliche and so easy, but it isn't. But like, it's so simple, but it's appreciated so much.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know what, like, just add that into your life and it'll probably help so much. Just randomly out of nowhere doing something for them. Something asked, I guess, back to the ask to do, but more like, oh, she wants a desk made. Doing that, going out, like she's like, oh, I have this great idea for, I don't know, a bookshelf. Going out and trying to figure that out, even getting a plan ready and asking her, hey, is this what you want? And yeah.
That's a good one, because that goes to like love languages. And by the sounds of your explanations, it sounds like Sarah's love languages are either gifts or acts of service. It's great that you know that, because those are things that someone with those love languages would really like, right? Mm-hmm. And those are great. Like, I love surprises. I love it when people just randomly give you gifts or randomly do things without, you know, thinking. Like, they just did it because they know you'd like it. I think anyone would really like that, ideally, right? So,
yeah.
Sarah's love language isn't gifts, but it's just something so, like I said, so simple. I don't find a coffee or flowers really a gift. It's just a random act of kindness. If she's down and you notice your lady's down or your significant other's down, you know, something so simple can spark light into their day. And it's, yeah.
It's literally being like, I see you. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Avatar. What do they say?
True.
What do they say?
Do. I think they say, I see you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
What are some of the challenges you think couples face in making relationships last?
So, obviously, all relationships are hard, and it's always come, no, to the day you die, your relationship can be challenging. But with the stigma behind divorce nowadays, it's so, in a sense, easy just to give up. And that's where I hate. People are so easy to give up. They're not willing to fight for that person whatsoever. No matter what you've been through, you could have been through hell and back with this person, but there could be one thing that you're like, oh, now I'm just done. People give up way too easy.
Now I know why you like him, sir. I'm joking. These are some good answers, Darnell. Good job. No, you should be on our podcast more often, eh? Yeah, Dawson, you can just go back to work. I was just sitting here with a little grin on his face. Yeah. He's just like, I'm here for participation.
No, he's listening, I can tell.
He's here for participation marks. Yeah. So what do you think, Austin, are the biggest challenges that couples have to face to make a relationship last?
I won't say it's for us, you know, per se, because we did, honestly, a pretty good job of it. But,
yeah, we did.
Probably moving out for the first time with each other. Mm-hmm. Because you're so used to... probably only seeing them, you know, a few times a week, and you only own it, and you have different lives, you're very independent at the time, and I don't know, like, you just, you're in, like, a fucking honeymoon phase for, like, this long period of time, and then, like, when you guys decide to move out, you see the person, like, every single day. You're home, and you see them, and you're, like, it's just a big, like, new, it's like a shell shock.
Yeah, they're in your space, they're touching your things, you guys are making messes together, like, it's something that you have to learn.
You're
and
learning
it's
to
be together. Well, actually, I would like to go on to, like, into our relationship, because Austin didn't say that we struggled with this, because we didn't, really. But what do you think was hard for us when we first moved in together? Can you think of anything that might have been hard?
I know for me, it was cleaning and learning chores for the first time.
At least he admits it. Yeah, moving in together is definitely a big challenge.
I have one more surprise question. So this is kind of one that I also have an answer to, but I want to ask you guys as well. So what is the best dating/marriage advice you have ever heard?
I feel like Austin already said his, by always keep dating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say mine. I just wanted to, like, kind of read it out loud, because I heard this recently and I really liked it. Okay, so it's, when you guys are in an argument or you and your partner are having a hard time, it's us against the problem, not you against me. Mm-hmm. But that actually was kind of, it kind of goes along the lines of that, but it's asking your partner, and it's hard because you might be in a mood where you're not really feeling like asking these questions, but do you want comfort or solutions? And that one is huge, because you might just need a hug. There's been times where I'm fuming and I'm so angry and we fought about nothing, really. Like, it feels like it just, we're going in circles. And then I'm like, sometimes I just need a freaking hug. And then I'm okay. Okay. But then you might need, no, we need a solution.
Right? Like, that might be your answer.
You just need a lollipop.
I need a lollipop. Well, that might go under the comfort. So, yeah. Like, that could go under the comfort.
You need a burrito.
You're like, yeah, I'm going to go get you a burrito. You'll be like, okay.
Sometimes when I'm upset, I just need a burrito. Austin needs a hug. I need a burrito.
Exactly.
Do you guys have any marriage advice you've ever heard, or like some good relationship advice?
I said it with one of the first questions that you guys asked was just, I personally like, don't go to bed angry. That's, and know what? That's my favorite advice I've heard. I know it's kind of repetitive now, but yeah, that's really what I like.
Yeah, that's good.
Always have trust. Always respect each other's boundaries. Always ask for permission.
Yeah. Consent, baby.
Consent, baby. I love that, Darno. That's the nicest thing you've said all night. We love consent.
We do.
Yeah. What's your best advice? Say there's a couple that just came to us and they're like, what's your best advice for dating? Because we're newly couples, freshly out of high school. I want to ask you and Caitlin, like, what would be your best advice to give them?
Equality.
100%. Like, there's no, like, you know, guy does this, girl does this. Like, you got to learn how to do both sides of, like, jobs, I guess, in the house.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of thing.
100 and 100, not 50-50.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And that was from actually one of our Instagram comments on one of the questions we asked.
That was an awesome one. I was honestly shocked that Jenna said
that. I loved that.
I'm still shocked. I was like, wow, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
That's rude.
Why?
Because he's like the one thing.
You're shocked that she said it? Wow, that's rude.
He's sad that he's in second place now.
Oh, he's in second place.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about some habits that I have learned over the last forever, because I'm an advocate for long-term relationships, relationship advice, you know, just learning along the way. Some good habits that I've learned is always, no matter what, when you come home, when you come in from a separate room, when you're coming to bed or anything in between, always be excited to see your partner. No joke, it will make such a difference. And I learned this when Austin and I started seeing each other, that I heard this advice and I was like, wow, can that really make a difference? But when they come from downstairs up to the room that you're in, and you're like, oh my goodness, hello. It just sets the tone and things are so much better. You would be surprised at how much of a difference it makes by walking into like the same room as each other and smiling at each other or being excited when you see each other. Like, it's crazy. Instead of just walking in the room like grumpy, like not saying anything, or not even just not saying anything, or not saying hello, or not saying anything. Like, that can just completely set a mood, especially if you're like a more sensitive person. Mm-hmm. You'll think that things are off and just... it makes a difference. I am 100% on board with that. Like, every time, I hate it because I'm always like talking about how great Austin and I's relationship is, and I feel like everyone's like, oh my God, I get it.
You're allowed to brag.
Yes, I am allowed to brag. I fucking work hard for this bitch. every time Austin either comes home or he comes into the same room, he's always smiling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that just makes me feel so much better. And I didn't even have to tell him this habit. He just knows. He's just
day one.
Yeah.
Austin has always done that. That is one thing I've noticed a lot. He is always so happy to see Katie. Like, whenever he sees her, his face freaking lights up. I'm not even joking. I've always admired that about you guys.
Yeah.
Or about Austin to you.
Even in high school when he had a huge crush on me.
Yeah. Like, even in the videos, like, you'll see Austin looking over in a video, and he's looking at Katie with, like, the most love and the smile, and it's just so cute. I'm your number one fan.
Oh, good. I love that. It's so cute. Auntie is happy. Okay, another one. Always show appreciation. No matter what, always tell them that you appreciate them, because nothing can hurt by just saying, hey, I really appreciated that you did that, or hey, I really appreciate you, or I love you, or you're just so awesome, or you're such a great, you know, husband or dad or boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or anything in between. Like, nothing hurts by just saying that, because it can just completely change someone's day. Okay. So that's a huge one for me. Another one is fighting fairly. It's a way easier said than done one, especially if you're not used to like fighting fairly in relationships. Like Sarah said earlier, it's not you against each other, it's you against the problem. Mm-hmm. You're a team. So when you're fighting, instead of getting all defensive and just making it an even longer conversation than it needs to be, remembering that you're fighting the problem. You're not fighting each other. So that's a huge one for me. Learning love languages, like we've already gone through a lot of these, which is great. Learning love languages is huge. Like, I know that Austin's love languages is touching, and I hate being touched, so like this is a little bit of a problem. It's funny because Austin and I actually have complete opposite love languages. Like his is touch, like physical touch, and mine is acts of service.
Yeah.
But he's learning that, which is super great. Like he's doing things without being asked, which should already be a thing anyways. And it's great. And I like give him head scratches and all this stuff, and I just know that he really appreciates it. So, but you actually have to understand that to really love someone, you need to know what their love languages are, because that's how you can really show them how much you love them.
Exactly. And another habit that I kind of thought of as you were talking, and it goes along with dating too, like never stop dating, which we've discussed a few times, but is when you guys are together, like in a relationship, is to have zero screen time, especially when you're out for dinner together, one-on-one and going to bed. And that is a really difficult one, but it's so important,
especially when you're trying to prioritize your time together.
Yeah,
right. Like
the time is so valuable.
Oh, 100%. You only live once,
and screens are stupid,
and that's why I have a scorpion tattoo. Fun fact, guys, I got 3 tattoos the other day. Another great one is keep your own life. Obviously you have a significant other and another half. Like, I call Austin my other half all the time. That doesn't mean that we do everything together. You know, like, I love going to the gym and I love hanging out with my friends one-on-one, and he totally respects that.
Yeah.
Austin, to be honest, he just loves to like sit at home, watch TV and game, and he does it, and that's our own time separately.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't have to go out and, you know, go hang out with his friends every day, or like go do all this stuff to like have his time by himself. But we both respect that we have our own different lives that we live within a relationship. And that's huge for people. Like, you cannot swarm yourself into the other person. Like, I know people who literally make their relationships their whole life. And that's really sad. It's like, it is. It truly is sad. Like, you lose yourself within the relationship, and that's just not good for you. And it's not healthy. And that's when you should be seeking therapy.
Yeah, exactly. That's no, you nailed it.
I nailed it right on the
head.
Right on the head. Bonk.
You hit it right on the head.
Bonk. I just smacked.
I just passed out.
And then last one. Admit when you're wrong. Oh, and we've talked about this in other podcasts. Admitting when you're wrong is huge. I'm very bad at it.
Same. Yep. Same. I'll fight that a long way, and then I'll be like, hey, this is just dumb. So.
You know what? And I feel like it's really sad, because I hate that I can't admit when I'm wrong sometimes, because my ego's too big. And I obviously, because I can self-reflect and I can say that out loud, and I'm recognizing that my ego is quite big, and sometimes it's hard for me to admit when I'm wrong. But I, like I've said in other podcasts, if Austin's literally like done something mildly wrong, he'll be like, I'm so sorry, like I know I did that wrong, boom 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 boom, like lists out why he's wrong, and I'm like, what? Like, how can I do that?
It's a hard feeling to understand, and being like, oh my gosh, but that also kind of goes to like, when you are in that heated situation, you might need to take that time apart and be like, okay, we need to like rest, take a chill pill, go our separate ways for a little bit, and let's come back to it. Because when you're in that heightened state and you're like, oh my gosh, and you're freaking out at each other, you're not going to admit you're wrong. But when you do come back in a more like level-headed situation and you're like, okay, you know what? I was wrong.
Like, how are you so easily able to apologize when you've done wrong? Because a lot of people let their egos get in the way.
Honestly, I don't even know. I think it's just, like, instinct. Like, it's just, like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like I'll even, like, jokingly, like, chirp you or something and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Or, like, I'm just joking.
Yeah, Austin will be silly with each other for a while. And even if he says something that's just, like, mildly offensive that I don't even take offense to, he'll be like, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I don't know. But I'm saying in, like, legit situations. Like, when you've done something wrong and you're immediately able to say sorry. Do you not have an ego that gets in the way that's like, no, I'm right? Because you're so good at saying sorry.
I don't know. I've just never had an ego. I don't have a problem saying sorry when I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think it's not worth the fight maybe for you, because you're just like, you know what? There's going to be so much more time fighting than if I just stuff up now and say, hey, maybe I did do something wrong. And like you said, you have no issue saying you're wrong.
But at the same time, if I know I'm right and we're in like an argument, and I know I'm right, then I'll like, you know, keep pushing that envelope. But then at the end, I'll always say sorry no matter what, because that's the least you could do.
And there's still feelings being hurt, so he's considerate about that, which is great.
Yeah.
And find yourself in Austin.
All right, ladies, listen up and listen up good. I know. All right, that's my question. All right. What are some of your expectations for a long-term relationship?
Loyalty, for sure. Communication skills. Following boundaries. And, you know, fully committing and, like, equal efforts. Because one thing that's super difficult for me is when you put in a lot of effort for someone and they only put in, like, less than 50%. Even in friendships, like, that's really difficult for me. So, what about you, sir?
Communicating on goals, communicating on what you want in the future, commitment together. I think goals is important. If you guys, you know, you kind of got to be on the same page. What'd you say?
That's a bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bucket list.
That's a really good one.
That kind of goes into goals, I guess.
Yeah. What do we want to do together? Where do we see ourselves in 10 years, 5 years, 2 years? And those are good things to kind of think about and talk together.
Pay attention, ladies. All right, what are some things you two think you could do in a relationship to deepen the connection of it?
That one's a good one for love language. I think if we're talking about our connection. But I think it also goes back to what we talked about with dating each other still and keeping the spark going. What about you, Katie?
I'm actually just going to kind of tell a story of how Austin and I keep things fun and exciting, not only with him working away. And when he comes home, it just gets more exciting every time because you're like dating each other, like we said before. But I'm just going to tell a little soft fucking sappy story here. But yesterday, Austin and I came home from our weekend away with you guys. Mm-hmm. And we always have showers together. Don't get your head in the gutter. We're just like saving water and stuff. And Austin will just like wash my hair for me. And he'll give me like a little head massage. And it's the cutest thing ever. And I just like, I sit there in that moment and I'm just like, he doesn't have to do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he does anyways, because he knows that I like it. And he knows that I probably need it. And then we go back to our room just to like hang out, watch a movie or whatever. And he's just like, hey, do you want a back massage? And I'm like, what? Yeah, sure. Like, and it's just, he just knows that doing things for me will just make me happy. And then when your wife's happy or your girlfriend's happy, the world's a happier place.
That's true.
And that's what every man should live by. Happy, happy wife, happy life. Literally. But that's how, you know, we keep it. What was the question?
The question was, what are some things you can do to deepen the connection of your relationship?
Okay, yeah. Just doing like small things for each other is big for me. Mm-hmm. Like surprises and acts of service. Sarah and I are very much advocates for acts of service. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one for us. Anyways, Austin's turn.
All right. I got another one.
Are
you fucking, what's his name?
DJ Khaled. We the best.
Another one.
All right. Everybody got the giggles out? Let's get fucking down to business here.
Oh,
let's get down. Let's get down to business. All right. Yeah. All right. What are some of the ways that we can support each other through difficult times?
Well, I know your answer. It would be just hugging constantly because Austin never wants to let go of me. Literally, every 5 minutes, Austin's like, "Can I have a hug? Can I have a hug? Can I have a hug?" And I'm like, for someone who does not like physical touch, that's a big one, but I just love them anyways. One thing to support, like me personally, in difficult situations would be like reassurance. Reassurance is big for me, and Austin's good at that, for sure. And he knows that that's a huge one for me. Would be definitely like hugging and physical touch and just like cuddling, making sure we're like, you know, connecting that way. So mm-hmm. Mine would be reassurance for sure, because I'm an anxious person. So being told that like things are going to be okay helps me a lot. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Can you read the question again, please?
What what are some of the ways that we can support each other through difficult times?
It's interesting because difficult times, for me too, like when I think like the first thing that comes to my mind is like a difficult change, which would be like you guys going up to Kitimat and start working. And so trying to navigate through that is like new, and it's definitely a learning process. And I really don't know I don't know an answer for that one yet because it's still so new. I think trying to communicate through FaceTime and like getting, you know, really just, I don't know.
Connecting.
Trying to connect during that time as best as you can. Yeah. Distance. Exactly.
Yeah, because this is new for us. Yeah. We've never done really long distance. And
ever.
You guys have been together for 7 years, and this is your first time trying to make a relationship work when they're gone for 2 weeks out of the month. Yeah. More than 2 weeks out of the month. Like, they're gone 2 weeks, and they're only home for, ideally, like, what, 5 days? Because we're still working.
Yeah, exactly.
And in school and making a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Like, our lives are so busy, and I think, well, for me to navigate through would be going, okay, well, I'm luckily with Darnell's job, it's like I'm going to take those 2 days off, the Thursday, Friday, and I think that'll help a lot. And being able to spend that extra little, those 2 days extra together, but
those are really good ones. They're good ones, for sure. Darnell, what do you got for us?
This question goes to both of you. Sarah, what's your favorite memory of us? And Katie, what's your favorite memory of, I guess, us or me? I don't know.
Yeah.
However you want to answer
it.
All right. So I would say my most recent favorite memory of us, like, we have traveled a lot and stuff, but I would say the most recent would have been when we went to Kamloops to see Kenny versus Benny. That was a lot of fun. We got our Starbucks, we listened to Scared to Death, it was such a pretty drive, and we had a really good time. That was a lot of fun. It was just us, like, it was nice to get away and just have time together, and I don't know, it was a lot of fun. It was very simple, but I really liked it. Yeah, what about you?
My favorite memory of Darnell was when we went away for my birthday, and we did this thing that everyone had to dress like me, and Darnell literally killed it. He literally had a wig on, a fake septum piercing, tattoos, he made his own shirt. It was freaking amazing. But my favorite memory, other than him being the star of the show of the weekend, was him put a box of Twisted Teas on his head in the middle of the night and just like keeping it on all night, and he just had a box on his head. And then I have a video of him where he's just like in his own little world, just like banging his fist on his head, and it's the funniest thing ever. Like, he was just the star of the show, and like literally it was my favorite part of the weekend was that Darnell just like made the whole weekend just fun and like goofy and silly and stuff. Like, I would have not liked that weekend if Darnell wasn't there. Aww.
Fuck, I killed it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so anyone, invite me to your parties. I'll make it fun, I guess.
Yeah. He's like, I will be booking in 2024.
Yeah, you gotta just buy my booze and, yeah, fly me out, whatever.
He'll be there.
I'll be there. As long as you pay me, because I still need to work.
You have to pay him to get there, pay him for the hours, pay for his liquor. Like, there's no benefit for you other than him hitting himself in the head with a box on his head.
That's a big, hefty liquor tab, let me tell you.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. What do you got for us?
What's your favorite song that reminds you of us? And then I guess, yes, there could be, like, either me and Katie combined. Like, yeah.
My song that reminds... Oh my gosh, we have way too many Austin. Definitely. Austin and I have been, like, best friends since, like, grade... What? Eight? So the first song that reminds me of you is that J. Cole song, No Role Models, because I was sitting in the library, freshly grade 10, and Austin and I were both skipping class at the same time, and I'm sitting in the library, and I'm like, yo, I'm just gonna chill, listen to music. And Austin all of a sudden just like comes in the library. He's like, hey, I'm gonna sit beside you. I'm like, hey, do you want to listen to a cool song together? And we did, and that was the first song we like bonded to, and we just chilled there for the whole entire time we were supposed to be in class. So that one, Alive by Lil Jon, and then all Nickelback songs, and then now since we're in a relationship, it would definitely be either Only Lost is Found by Blue October, or Completely by Blue October, or 700 other songs, because we have so many. But probably, honestly, Only Lost is Found reminds me of us, because we bonded so hard to that one when we first started dating, because that's when that album came out, and I was obsessed with it, and I forced Austin to listen to it, like, every day, and then he learned how to sing it for me, right?
Yeah, to an extent. I don't know about now, but yeah, for sure.
You know how to sing it. You're good. Anyways, what's the song that reminds you of Austin and then of us? Because I'm curious.
Well, this is, like, mainly Austin because he's really, really good at lip syncing to it or singing to it. And but Katie as well, because she's, like, they just go really good together with this song. I think, if I'm correct, Power Glide by Ray Shmurda.
Shmurd.
I never know how to say his name. I've seen him live, but I don't know how to say his name.
You've seen him live?
Yeah, we saw him live.
For the weekend. Yeah.
Did he play Power Glide?
No, I wish. I was. But anyways, that one reminds me definitely.
Of us?
Of you two, but specifically Austin the most.
You guys, like, sing it together. Like,
so
like a duet.
Good. It is.
Together.
It's a duet.
Sarah and I both love seeing it because we're like, it just gets you going, you know?
It does. You guys should do a video. Well, you're not even lip syncing. We're just watching you and it looks like you're lip syncing, but you're actually singing.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Darnell, your last one for us. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I'm full of great questions, you know? You always want to hear from me, so.
Is that right?
Probably getting cut out, but if it doesn't, sup, y'all? What's your favorite thing about me? Because, you know, I'm
conceited.
That's the word. No, I see that. I don't know, because, yeah, what's your favorite thing about me? Because I'm kind of dumb, but, like.
You can't be smart and pretty, Darnell.
I would say you're very genuine. Like, you do sometimes come off really strong to people who don't know you. Like, you just say what you feel, you know? That's just the way you are, but.
No filter.
Yeah, you are a very genuine guy. You're very loyal. Mm-hmm. I can trust you. I know that I can trust you with full confidence. Like, but
one thing that I really like about Darnell is that, as well with Sarah, like, he's just, like, a legit dude. Like, you know, as someone who got to know Darnell as he was dating my best friend more than I did when I knew him in high school, I know that he's also, like, a super genuine guy. Like, super loyal, super legit. Like, when, say if someone were to, like, make a lie of something that he said, I would know it's not fucking true, because Darnell is the he just doesn't do shitty things. Like, Darnell just isn't like that. He says really weird stuff. Like, he wants to, like, tickle my boyfriend at night in the bum bum or something like that. Like, he says stuff like that. And yeah, whatever. But, like, we know that Darnell would never do anything bad. We just know it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's no. You're just a good dude. Like, you're just a good.
Things.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't ever have to worry about you being a bad dude, like, ever. It would never cross my mind, like, no matter what. Like, even if you're someone, sorry, yeah, Darnell's just getting tooted his own horn.
Tommy sticks. Holy, I'm about to.
You asked this question, but yeah, I'm gonna be honest. Like, if someone were to, like, say, like, oh, Darnell, like, was disrespectful towards Sarah behind her back, I would be like, absolutely not. Like, there's no way I'd believe that, and I'm all for being like, oh yeah, like, screw men, like, they probably did it anyways, because, like, they're all the same, but, like, they're not. Darnell isn't the same. I just know who he is. I know the kind of person he is, and he wouldn't be that kind of person, and that's one thing that I like about him the most, is that I can trust who he is, and when you know him, you know who he is completely.
Yeah.
And that's kind of dumb, but that's okay. We love him anyways.
I like these tummy sticks. Fucking give me some confidence.
There's not one thing
you like about me
that I don't like.
Daddy.
We're going to leave it there.
Oh, yeah. 2 seconds later, Austin's like, you're my best friend in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
I love you. Okay, so those are good questions. So these are some questions to kind of break it up, because now we're going to ask the guys some other questions to them specifically. But... we're going to do the Instagram ones first, because we only chose from a couple. This one, I think you guys can kind of guess who it might be from. Who's your favorite coworker?
Well, he's kind of dumb, but I have to say my buddy Austin Picard here, because Yeah, we worked together. You got me a job. And...
yeah, we all know who asked this question. Greg, if you're listening, you're one sexy, sexy man. There's.
And you have cute dogs.
Yeah, you have really cute dogs. Damn, that's a tough one because there's a lot of good guys up there. Oof. Greg, you're definitely, definitely top three for sure.
Jeremy.
No, I gotta change my answer, actually. It's definitely fucking Greg. I didn't know he asked the question. I was just being dumb. Austin, you go fuck yourself.
Fair enough.
We all love Greg.
This isn't about relationships, but I'm glad that Greg got his answer out of the boys. You're welcome, Greg.
And then this one we chose, it was more of a statement than a question, but we would love this. Take your girls on a vacay. Actually, a beach vacay. They deserve it. What do you have to say about that?
That's why you boys are working long hours, you know. The ladies are expensive taste, and yeah, we just got to pay for it.
Yeah, you nailed that one on the head.
Okay, well, that was kind of it for our Instagram, actually. We only had a couple that we chose from, so thank you to everybody who submitted their questions, but we thought we'd just narrow it down to a couple, and those were more statements, but anyways.
So, just to kind of finish things off, we have a couple of questions for each couple. Like, I have some for Austin, as if I haven't talked enough about him and enough about our relationship. Sorry, you guys, you're going to hear me, like, bragging about it because, like, y'all need to find a relationship like Austin and I's. So I'm going to ask Austin some questions, and he's going to be put on the spot here a little bit. And then Sarah's going to ask Darnell some questions. So we're going to start off here. Austin, what do you like most about our relationship?
We're very playful in the way, like, we talk every day. No, we just, I don't know. I can't think of one bad thing, but there's so many good things. Like the yeah, 100%. Good outweighs the bad.
Even though there's no bad.
The way we communicate with each other, even though I'm away.
But if there's one thing that you said that you liked most about our relationship, me, even in just one word, what would it be?
How much we care about each other. And that how much we laugh with each other. Even though we've been in a relationship for going on 2 years, which is crazy, thinking about it. Yeah, just how much we still laughed, like, to this day, even over, like, the silliest shit, even though we still laughed about those, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we still reminisce about us being friends and, like, joke around, like, oh, you love me first. Still pick your battles on that one, but, yeah.
He'd definitely like me throughout all high school. Sarah was even there to vouch for that. Yeah. Austin had a huge crush on me throughout high school, and I friend-zoned him super hard, so, like, obviously that was a mistake. I know. I think about it every night before I go to bed. but, yeah, so, like, just laughing together. We get that one a lot, actually. Like, a lot of people, when they see us together, they notice that we're laughing a lot all the time, which is great. Keeping things funny, like, even though, like, you know, like, we had to bathe our goldfish or something like that. Uh-huh. Didn't you used to say that all the time? Like, no, sorry, I can't. I got to bathe my goldfish or something like that. Yeah. I can't come tonight. I got to bathe my goldfish.
I got to go walk my goldfish.
I got to go walk my fish. So it's your turn for your...
Okay, Darnell.
You're on the spot.
You're on the spot. When did you know you were in love with me?
Flashback to fucking 100 years ago.
Yeah, back to 2016 or whenever you think you fell in love with me.
It was actually pretty quick because I'm pretty sure I said it first. I'm pretty sure it was literally like 3 months in.
It was.
Yeah. Because I just... yeah, I don't know. I just had that feeling. It's hard to explain, I guess.
You've never been in love with someone else before. So it's
no,
like
I have. It was such a new feeling, but like I know a lot of people say it early and, you know, and... and end up not scared. I lost so many people. I'm pretty sure had those doubts with Sarah and I, but obviously we proved them wrong. And I know there's a lot of questions about me and like fucking hurry up, but
there was some, but I just didn't ask.
Yeah, I saw those questions, and I appreciate your question. But if I told you, it wouldn't really be a secret, would it? So and yeah. It's more of a feeling than just saying I love you. Sarah's literally such a good person, someone I can fully trust. She's a little stinky sometimes. But no, someone I can fully trust. It's not even a word of a doubt. And someone who's just a good person will never take advantage of me or do anything to intentionally harm me or like hurt my feelings or make me angry or anything like that.
Okay, so I'm going to take it away with another one for Austin. Give me one of your favorite memories of us, but not as friends. So like us as a couple in a relationship. Give us the whole story, honestly. Just fly at her.
Probably, there's a lot of good memories. But one that always is in the back of my mind whenever this question gets brought up, because it gets brought up here and there randomly. Katie will ask me it. Probably the day that she said that she wanted to date me, even though I wanted to date her like a week into, you know, hanging out with her. And she was just not having that. She made me wait. How long was it? Like 4 or 5 months? Something, yeah, something crazy like that. I've met, like, we were doing everything together. Like, we were pretty much dating, but, like, you know, we weren't. Anyways, we were doing everything like a couple would normally do, except for we weren't, I guess, Facebook official, as kids nowadays would say it. And, yeah, probably when she said that she wanted to date me, which was at Montana's. And I remember the exact seat we were sitting in. Because she points it out every time we go to Montana's together. And yeah, it was a great, great moment. Because like, I didn't expect it. Because I was just like, oh, it's just another day hanging out with Katie, you know?
And then I said I was ready to be your girlfriend. Just to go off that one a little bit, I think another one of our best memories was when, like 2 summers ago, when we got reunited or whatever, and we finally said that we loved each other again, and Austin was hugging me, and then he lifted up and like looked at me, and I was like, I said that I loved him, and he like blubbered in my ear like a baby, and it was so cute. And I just that's a good one. That was one of the best. Everyone says like their wedding or their engagement day was like the best day of their lives. I haven't had that yet, so like I would definitely consider that day being one of the best days ever. But I didn't think you would say that, so that's really cute. Anyways, I'm going to go cry. Goodbye.
Sarah, here you go. I'll take it away from here. So, to Darnell.
From Sarah.
From Sarah. Hey, Darnell.
Hi.
What makes you happiest about our relationship?
What makes me happiest about our relationship? That we are best friends. Like, I will never get tired of hanging out with you. You know, there's going to be a lot of you knows in this because I'm very bad at public speaking. And it's not even really that public, but, man, I don't know why I'm going on this tangent. I'm just a little fucked up.
All right. There we go. We got the answer. Perfect. All right.
Perfect. One last one for Austin. Okay, Austin, if you had to describe what being in love with me felt like, or just being in love in general, in your experience, what does it feel like?
She's like this cute little fucking thing that you just want to pet on the head saying, like, good job, like, you're good there, you know? But, like, then she's also, like, fucking squirrely, and she just, like, you know, does squirrel things.
Like just swirling around.
If I had to describe you,
or what being in love is like
with you, per se, it's like always being in the honeymoon phase of a brand new relationship. Like it's there's never, you know, anything. I never look at a day that's like, oh shit, might go down the drain. Like it's like, I don't know. There's never really a bad day, per se. It's always only good days. What I like about being in love is kind of piecing our life together as we're going. Just kind of like, I don't know, seeing our future like unfold each day.
seeing how like our how we're like characters are building, how like while we're bonding with each other each and every single day.
Are you excited about our future?
Yeah.
What are you most excited about?
Marriage, probably.
Why are you excited about marriage?
Free drinks. What? No, I don't know. It's probably, yeah, it's going to be the happiest day of our life. It's going to be like a memorable one for sure.
Yeah.
With all of our friends and family.
Darnell's going to be hammered.
Darnell's going to be wasted with a box on his head.
Yeah, that's all I asked for.
So the last question for the guys, which is kind of a how well do they know us question. I'm hoping, I think Darnell might get this one. Okay, Darnell. So what is my pet peeve?
Actually, I believe it's probably buying any feminine product, because you shouldn't have to buy that shit, in my opinion. You know, yeah, that's about it. You don't have a choice, so yeah, that's it.
No, you're right. That is definitely one, and it really bothers me, and every time I have to go buy them, I'm like, why do I have to do this? This is so stupid. Yeah, I'm definitely an advocate for that, but I'm sure every woman is, because that's shitty. And, yeah, so now passing it on.
I like this one because I know Austin just knows me so well. What is my pet peeve, Austin?
Having to ask more than once.
Yeah, exactly. One last question for the boys. This isn't really relationship related, but I just thought it would be a good ending because this was a wild podcast. Austin, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 ducks?
Sized horses.
Duck-sized. Austin! Okay. Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Probably. Wait, one...
horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
One horse-sized duck. I'd fuck that thing right up. I'd just kick it.
Perfect.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
The duck is the size of a horse.
And Paul, if you're listening to this, which I don't know if you are, kicking always comes first.
I'd have to agree on Austin. On Austin. I'd agree with Austin on that one. Fuck. Imagine like 100 horses, but they're duck size coming after you. Like, that's terrifying. I'd take on 100 ducks over one horse, but man, that'd be scary. I just.
But it's a duck the size of a horse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't care.
What if they have beaks?
Oh, it's quicker ending for me, I guess.
All right, so there you go. Looks like we are fighting duck-sized horses, and not a million baby horses. No, I got that right. One duck-sized horse. Waffles, that's what I said.
Can we get wicked waffles, please?
That would be delicious. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. Well, thanks, boys, for being on. Okay, thank you, everyone, for being here. This has been a wild, wild ride with the two boys here. And I feel like next week, maybe even a couple weeks after, we're going to have a very, very special episode of our bloopers.
Yeah. Big time.
We have way too many bloopers for this episode, so I hope you guys are all looking forward to that. Thank you for being here. It's been so awesome.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram, like I've said, every single week. Rate us 5 stars, download our podcast, and then just, you know, fly at her.
Just peace, love, lip gloss, man.
Peace, love, lip gloss.
Let's hear the voice.
Peace, love, lip gloss, baby.
Peace, love, lip gloss.